don't be too risk averse. Don't be afraid to take a risk and do what you want to do. I mean, I put it all on the line to get this place. I mean, didn't do that great this first year. I would have told myself, make sure you just stick it through the first year and you'll be fine.
A post-pandemic business pivot as a talented pizza maker sells his beloved LA pizzeria to a guy who just happened to be looking for a pizza joint to buy. Everything has pretty much stayed the same, including those awesome chocolate chip cookies. And the regulars in Atwater Village have themselves one of the best pizzas in town. The story behind Hail Mary, straight ahead.
Straight fried pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. As you may have guessed, I'm in L.A. all month long as we get ready for Pizza City Fest. L.A., April 27th and 28th. It's at L.A. Live once again. There is a lot of excitement here this year. As I've been talking to pizza makers and getting a lot of DMs from folks asking to either collaborate or consider them for inclusion next year. It's very humbling, actually. Some of us went on a little excursion last weekend, starting at Quarter Sheets, a fantastic, critically acclaimed pizzeria in Echo Park in the shadow of Dodger Stadium. Five, six guys got together on a Sunday at noon when they opened. By the way, the line forms at about 20 to 12, if you're interested. But the reason I wanted to go on a Sunday was because, Wednesdays and Sundays, dine-in only, you can get a bar pie, which is the thin and crispy pizza that I talk about frequently that we call tavern style. Now, dummy that I am, I thought that it would, of course, come out cut into squares like we do in the Midwest, but it was in the mold of a Colony Grill pie from Connecticut, so it was cut into large wedges, and yet it was that very thin and crispy blistered pizza like we see in the Midwest. So it was a little bit confusing for me as a Midwesterner, but Aaron, the owner, said that if the annoying Midwestern people do ask for it to be cut into squares, they will do that on request. So just FYI in the future. By the way, his regular pan pizza, sort of in the mold of a Detroit, but not quite Detroit, is exquisite and highly recommend you stop at Quarter Sheets. We'll get them at Pizza City Fest one of these years. All right, well, then we went down to the street to L'Assorted's for another pie and a hoagie and a focaccia sandwich. And Tommy Brockert just has it going on. He's about to open another location in Chinatown, which looks glorious, much larger space with some dine-in that he doesn't have right now. So L'Assorted's another must-visit place while you're in L.A. Now, I've talked in the past how lots of folks here want to dip their pizza crusts in ranch. But the other interesting thing is nearly every pizzeria offers either a chocolate chip cookie or soft serve. Genius. Everybody listening, please take that cue and do the same. Now, we are checking in with Hail Mary this week, a place Noel Broner and I visited over a year ago as we were scouting for the first Pizza City Fest here. Loved it immediately. And the only bummer was bad timing, as they were in the process of selling the business around the time of the event last year. But now new owner Jeff Barris has been in charge for just over a year, and things are still running pretty smoothly with that all-natural starter kickstarting a dough that contains four types of flour. They are true pepperoni rebels, opting for the responsibly raised pigs from Lowry Hill in Minnesota instead of the usual suspects. He'll talk about that today, too. Well, I began by asking Jeff, as I do all our guests, to try to recall his first pizza memory.
Probably back in California, the first time we lived here, mostly from the East Coast, but we spent a couple years in California in the late 70s, up in the San Jose area. Just a regular pizza.
Like from a chain, you think?
Yeah, it was a local chain. So there were chains all over Morgan Hill area, I believe, and San Jose. Ever since then, I've been making it, probably since I started making pizza when I was 8, 9 years old, making my own dough. And
whenever I meet people from Northern California, obviously bread culture is very big up there. And double entendre intended, as I say, culture. You'd think that like that, you probably have you're more keyed in some ways to the crust than people from other parts of the country.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But really, I inherited a good, when I bought this place, the prior owner was a dough master and he created a masterpiece with sourdough. So that's, you know, I was looking for a pizza place for a year and when I found this place, it was all over because of that crust. So I thought I was good. Until I tried the crust here.
So take us to that point in between you buying Hail Mary here in Atwater Village and then leaving, or I guess growing up in San Jose. What happened in between there?
Well, I was only there for 78 and 79. Then we moved back east. We lived in 8 different states growing up.
My dad. Military?
No, he climbed the corporate ladder. When I came out to UCSD in 1989, I came back to California and I've never left since. But started off bioengineering pre-med major, didn't do too well in organic chemistry, didn't think I would get into good med school, so I switched to psychology because I wanted to be a psychiatrist. I figured that was the closest. And then I messed up, totally screwed myself, practically flunked out of UCSD, went back to school, got an accounting degree in business at Cal State San Marcos, right where I lived, down in San Diego. And went to work for Deloitte & Touche, did some management consulting, and then ended up working for a subsidiary of Airbus for about 9 years. Didn't want to work for anybody anymore. Came into a windfall of money and decided I was going to become my own boss and look for a restaurant. Well, looking for all kinds of business, but decided on a restaurant and pizza would be more pandemic-proof, you know? Thinking about the pandemic going on at the time when I was doing this research.
Were there pizza touchstones along the way? You mentioned going back to the East Coast, being in San Diego. Any pizza that stood out for you along the way, or was it basically like what I had, you know, garbage pizza pit in Madison, Wisconsin kind of stuff that's not that memorable? Or were there memorable pizzas for you?
Yeah, when I lived in Rochester, New York, when I went to high school, there was a place called Pontello's Pizzeria, and they had like 7 or 8 of them around the town. And it was just incredible. And then down in San Diego, you know, several pizza places. Killer Pizza from Mars, which didn't make the pandemic, just closed recently. And then another one, Bruno's, which closed maybe 7, 8 years ago. Those were very memorable pizzas.
And were these always kind of the same style, that sort of large 20-inch New York pie you fold a slice in half?
No. Some of them were thicker crusts. One was even a Sicilian style. My son and I did a trip across the country and we stopped at all the big pizza cities. So we did a Detroit style, we did a Chicago style, New Haven, we tried them all. So,
in preparation for buying this?
It happened to be right before. It was before my idea of buying a pizza place, but I'm sure some of that had a lot to do with my thought process in deciding on pizza.
Okay, so tell me about what happened here. I was here about a year and a half ago with Noel Broner, who we set up the first Pizza City Fest with. Mm-hmm. You know, he is Mr. Slow Rise Dough here in L.A. Mm-hmm. He said, you got to check out this place, Hail Mary. It's in Atwater. It's unbelievable. It was incredible. I reached out. They didn't want to do it because there was a management change happening at that time. And so then you took over.
September 22, so it had to be...
September 22, yeah. It happened so right around then.
I think he told me about it, but he told me when I took over, I was just too late. So, or something to sign up for it, I think.
That's okay. So then you saw something happening here, and you just said, I want that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the reputation, we just got listed in the LA Times last September as a top 21 pizza destination here in LA. That and all the kudos in the last 4 or 5 years for the previous owner, David Wilcox, I think is what made it for me.
Riding this tide of other, like, Lasorda's came out of the pandemic, Hot Tongue also, you know, so these, you're all sort of in the same class, right?
Yeah, in fact, I did my podcast with the guy from Hot Tongue, Pie to Pie, called Alex, great guy. All those are great restaurants. They were born, you know, they got big. I think Hail Mary got really big during the pandemic, too, because it took really good sales to a new level.
And you felt like there's enough variety in this part of LA because, you know, we're not that far away. I mean, we're probably an 8-minute drive, if that, from...
Yeah.
Well, you're close.
Yeah. I think Hot Tongue started out mostly all vegan, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's still doing that, because I don't know if...
No, he's not.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the demand was there for it, but... So at the beginning, no, we weren't really like competing, but he makes a good pizza. I mean, Alex is good.
And how would you describe Atwater Village, and where are we? We're kind of, we're close to downtown, we're not that far off several highways. How do you describe Atwater?
I consider it like the Upper East Side, kind of, you know. It's a nice up-and-coming that's totally regentrified in the last 15 years. I mean, this place looks completely different than it did 15 years ago, and I love the people here. Very welcoming community. Everybody's trying to help each other. It's a great area. I couldn't talk enough about it.
And when did Dave open up this place then?
I think he opened up the restaurant that failed, Journeyman, in August of 2017. And then I think it failed in 4 or 5 months, and they pivoted to pizza. That's how they got the name Hail Mary. He pulled the Hail Mary, pivoted to pizza, and it just took off from there.
So tell me about the pizza at Hail Mary. How would you describe the style, and what makes it special?
I like to call it LA pizza. It's an LA whole wheat sourdough crust. It's cold fermented 24 hours, so it's very flavorful. A lot of people will do sometimes, you know, more than 24, 48 hours, but what works with our mix of flours is a 24 hour cold ferment. So it just comes out just the right fluffiness. We proof it for so many hours before we bring it out, and I don't know, everybody tells us it's the best in LA. Everybody that comes here tells us it's one of the best in LA. I don't want to say we're the best. There's a lot of good pizza places out there, but I'm just happy to be up near the top or included.
And I like to hear someone start describing this as an LA pizza. You know, like Pie LA, Fred, it's very much about an LA pizza. Justin over at Apollonia's, he makes an LA style pizza. So I like that, you know, no one's saying this is a New York style, but it's through my lens. No, this is an LA style pizza.
Correct. I 100% agree with that. And right now, I don't think that's fully defined what LA style is, but somebody's going to win that competition.
Well, there's just so many influences in LA. Were you lucky to keep the staff at least when you took over here?
Initially, I kept most of the staff just for continuity and keeping, well, I learned the ins and outs of the business. But slowly over the last year and a half, there's maybe one person, my dough master. He's the most important guy. He's the one guy that's still here.
And you only do whole pies, not by the slice?
We do by the slice on Saturdays and Sundays from open till about 5 p.m. or if we run out.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Jeff Barris here at Hail Mary in Atwater Village, talking about his pizza. We're going to build a pie. We'll take us through all the steps. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks. So stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. We're here at Hail Mary in Atwater Village in L.A. with Jeff Barris, the owner. You've been the owner for about a year and change?
About a little more than a year and a half now.
Okay. So, and who's your cook here who's going to make this, stretch this pie for us?
Jose. He's my kitchen manager. He runs the whole back of the house. He is going to take one of our doughs out of these trays. We've got 8 doughs per tray, I think.
Okay. You mentioned, you said whole wheat.
Yeah, it's a whole wheat sourdough.
You're feeding a starter every day?
Yeah. We create Levon Pouliche in the morning with the mother, and then we take a little bit and we refeed the mother for the next day.
God, that just makes so much difference when you've got that kind of commitment, I think, you know, in terms of making this dough. Very few places go to that length. These are beautiful rounds, by the way. This is, and you can see sort of the little specks of whole wheat in there.
There's 4 different flours in there. So, yeah, that's the dark whole wheat one. We also have a High Mountain for the gluten to kind of help with stretching. And then there's an ABC Plus. It's kind of like basic flour. And then a Beehive flour, which he kind of uses to when he's stretching here. So he's basically flouring the dough, creating a nice roundness with his fingers, creating the crust.
Now with one hand, he's forming the cornicione. He's sort of pressing down and turning it with this one hand. That's pretty high skill.
Over. Yeah, he flips it over. Wait till he flaps it around and makes it bigger. Yeah, he's very methodical. And it all depends on how the dough is that day. Is it overproofed? Is it underproofed? I mean, did we have to pull it out of the fridge an hour ago because we're selling more than we thought?
Like today's a warm day, so it's probably they pulled it out maybe
4 hours ago, three and a half, 4 hours ago maybe.
Now the hand stretch, wow. That again took him about 7 seconds to get it to, what, 16, 18 inches?
16.
Okay. Now he's going to go over to, he's going to put it on a peel, I'm guessing. Onto the wooden peel, yep.
15 inch, but these guys really stretch it 15, 16, so.
Okay. What's he got there, semolina?
It's a cornmeal to help it roll off the peel when he puts it in the oven.
Oh, that's a nice Midwestern touch. The coarse cornmeal on the wooden peel, okay.
Medium coarse cornmeal, yeah.
All right, very nice. And now you're going to do a roni?
Yeah, so he's going to put our sauce, which he actually, we did change one thing. After a year, he created this sauce. We did a blind taste test to see if the old sauce or the new sauce was better, and everybody picked the new sauce. So I said, okay, we're going to switch to his sauce. So
what kind of tomatoes?
It's Bianco. Dinopolis, of course, which is pretty much the standard in high-end pizza.
And then the cheese is what?
It's Grand cheese.
Grande.
Grande. Thank you for the correction.
Fond du Lac is very proud of this.
Yes. We just switched them about 5 months ago. In fact, you can see our little plaque on the wall that says we proudly serve their cheese here.
Oh, yeah. Keith is going
to
be
their sponsor.
Shout out to Keith, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, tell me about this pepperoni.
Yep. It's pepperoni going everywhere. So he's kind of filling the gaps to make sure that it's evenly spread out and not.
But this is from Minnesota.
Yes. Yes. This is from Lowry Hill Meat Provisions.
Why that place? I mean, of all places.
The prior owner had worked with a company in Minnesota. Lowry Hill took over that company's meat, and they basically, the prior owner went back and forth until they designed a pepperoni that was to his liking.
Natural casing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Fat, fennel, chili?
Yes, yeah. The right mix of paprika and some other things. But yeah, okay. The ratios was what he went back and forth on.
Okay, and is it thick cut? I can't tell from here.
We use a RoboCoup to cut it, so it's not too thick, but it's thicker than normal, I would think.
You just finish it with some Romano?
Yeah, we put some Parmesan on top. It kind of melts into the pepperoni when it's cooking.
Okay, now into the oven. This is a Baker's Pride?
Yep, we got double stack Baker's Pride, the biggest ones you can get.
Nice big deck with the stone, getting three big stones on the middle.
Prior cornmeal that may have burned.
And there's a big sign on the left side that says 550 degrees. Is that to remind the cooks?
Yeah, usually the top one should be at 600 and the bottom should, somebody switch those. Yeah. Usually we run the bottom oven a little bit cooler.
Okay, you launched it way into the back of the oven.
Correct. We have certain positions. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 positions. That way you know where the next pizza's coming out, and it makes it easier to rotate.
And how long is this bake?
7 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
There's a hot spot in there where we can cook it faster if need be, but it kind of burns the bottom unless we move it around.
All right, we'll check back in about 7 minutes.
All right.
So Jose pulled it out of the oven. Beautiful burnished brown speckled cornicione raised heel. And then he did a couple of things to finish it. What did he do there? He sprinkled on something?
He sprinkled on salt. A lot of our pizzas will be fancy.
Sea salt? Kosher salt?
It's a Maldon salt.
Oh, the fancy salt. Okay.
And then we brushed the very outer crust with olive oil.
Okay. I've seen that at a couple places, not many, but that's a nice little finish too because that adds just a little bit of richness to the outside crust.
Correct. Okay. And it gives a little shine to it.
This beautiful color. The pepperoni, not really what we call cup and char, right? Because a lot of times we see, like the Rosa Grandes or the Izos, they will curl up into a cup. You don't want that, though.
It depends how it's cut. Sometimes it does curl up in cup, but most of the time it does not.
Okay.
I don't mind either way. They always taste good, as long as it tastes good.
Right, but this is that special Lowry Hill, Minnesota-based pepperoni.
Correct.
Okay, and they're really, what did you say in your menu? Like they're really, they're well taken care of, they're well fed pigs, they're raised right.
They're
like the Alice Waters of pig.
They're pigs raised right.
Yeah, they're raised right.
Yep.
Okay, so you said wait a couple minutes before you dig into this, right? Because it's
absolutely
pretty hot still.
Yeah, I still have a burn on the roof of my mouth from a couple days ago.
Typical 6-slice pie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. You'll cut this in half, obviously, at Pizza Fest.
Correct.
Okay, those are nice slices. All right, let's take a look at the undercarriage. I'll lift this guy up here. Oh my God, that's beautiful. The speckling of the coarse cornmeal, a little blacketing, 3-4 shades of brown and black here, dark brown, light brown, tan, black. Oh, that's gorgeous. I'll get a picture of that too to post. This is a beautiful looking pizza.
Thank you. I'm very proud of what my staff can do. Absolutely.
And there's a little bit of crumb on the outside. You can see that when you lift up. There's a nice little crumb on the outside, and that, again, tells you that there's been some fermentation here, and you've got that all-natural starter.
Yep. Thanks for noticing.
All right, so I'm gonna take a bite here. Can we put it on a plate maybe or a hot but really good. I'd rather have it a little bit too hot than too cold.
No,
I don't like, you know, I want to have it fresh.
I agree.
How do you feel about like the New York style, the reheating of the pizza, the refreshing, the flashing.
Anybody that takes pizza home, I jokingly say, promise me you're not going to microwave that. Because I prefer either on a iron skillet with maybe a top on it briefly, so you brown the bottom and steam the top a little bit, or in the air fryer is probably the safest, easiest way.
I have seen a lot of people in LA with pizza to go, carry out delivery. I was walking on Sunset and I saw some guys with assorted boxes walking around. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, listen, you want to sell a pizza no matter what, right? It doesn't matter. But if, in terms of appreciating it and enjoying it, you want it 5 minutes out of the oven.
Oh, God. The only way to eat a pizza is 5 minutes out of the oven. I always feel bad. We didn't do delivery for years because we couldn't guarantee the delivery guy, if it was more than 10 minutes away, if it would still be fresh. It would be cold, or would it be soggy because the steam got to it in the box? Yeah, 5 minutes out of the oven is the only way really to eat it, in my opinion.
I just took a bite of the heel there because I always go, you know, tip and heel.
Yep.
It's delicious bread. The fact that you brush it with olive oil, that is a nice touch. It softens it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It gives it a teeny bit of richness. This does not have as much of a sour tang as I would expect for something that's fermented that long, but it absolutely tastes like great bread, you know? Like, I don't want to put anything else on this. I know people in L.A. will dunk this in ranch, right?
I know a lot of people, ranch, blue cheese, or I've even seen a driver ask me for ketchup to put on his pizza.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
Ban that guy.
No, I did. I think I gave him a bad rating, like, don't come back here.
Doesn't need anything, though. I don't think it needs anything. This is great by itself.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. If you want to dip it in anything, just marinara.
Yeah, yeah. All right, listen, final question. We ask all of our guests the same thing. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, which you've certainly learned a lot in the last year and a half, what would you have told yourself 4 or 5 years ago to be successful in the pizza game? What advice would you give your younger self?
Don't be too risk averse. Don't be afraid to take a risk and do what you want to do. And that's kind of where I'm at. This place was risky coming from my conservative background, but yeah, I mean, I put it all on the line to get this place, and didn't do that great this first year. I would have told myself, make sure you just stick it through the first year and you'll be fine.
And clearly be unafraid to make some changes, because you bought something that was doing pretty well, but then, like you just said, you decided to change the sauce wholesale, which is a big deal.
Yeah, but I only did it if we were unanimous, and somehow we were unanimous on the sauce. The new sauce was that much better, not taking anything away from the old one. It was just...
You made it better.
Yeah, a little bit better, I guess. Jose did.
All the credit to Jose. Jose, muchas gracias, by the way. Muy delicioso. The restaurant, again, is called Hail Mary. It's in Atwater Village. Come see Jeff and his team here and Jose. Fantastic pizza. I'm so excited to see you guys at Pizza City Fest. And congrats, and best of luck to you guys.
Thanks. We're excited to be there.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we're heading south from L.A. through the Orange Curtain to the hamlet of Dana Point, perched on the coast, where one of John Arena's understudies is carving his own path.
It kind of is a hybrid between like a Sicilian, a grandma, and a Roman. Like, we took all those characteristics of those three kinds of things and kind of wove them into making this 12 by 12 square.
We'll pay Chris Decker a visit at Truly Pizza. That's in 2 weeks on April 26th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.